it's Raining Men, and I'm a man, and Kidge is a man.
Yes.
And we're raining on you right now, sort of.
Careful. I'll just say be careful.
Let's be careful.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, cautious. Well, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us. If you would like to listen to us live, we do broadcast live after. Okay, you got to follow this, though, okay, because I can't just give you a specific time. We usually broadcast, we try to broadcast about 7 o'clock Central Time on every Wednesday. However, I do a show before this called The Adventure Sandwich, which you can catch at theadventuresandwich.com/live. And that is
true.
6 o'clock Central Time. Okay, so you can catch that. And immediately following that show, whenever it ends, we do this one. So if you listen to the show, you want to catch us live, it'll be a little after 7 every Wednesday.
Exactly. At 7 Central Standard Time. Did we say that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Or I don't know if we said the standard part, but whatever.
Well, because there's a Central America time, and that's different because it doesn't have daylight savings time.
True. So how do you feel about the daylight savings time?
I don't know of a better way for us to handle the 0.24 days at the end of the year.
Yes.
Besides just a leap year.
But daylight savings time is not to take care of the 0.24 days.
What exactly is it to cover?
it's to make better use of the light. It's so that you use less electricity to light your house and factories and that kind of stuff.
I highly doubt that.
That's true. That's why it was invented.
I thought it was invented because they needed sunlight to do stuff.
That's what I meant. That's what I said. Light.
Well, I didn't mean light mayo.
I just meant light. Well, I know, but it's a holdover.
Mayo's
from
nasty.
It's a holdover from that time when they.
Fair
when
enough.
They, yeah. Anyway, so that's all. I'm not an expert on it. I don't know. That's what I've been told. But anyway, the point was: do you like it or do you not? Do you like the spring forward, the fall back? You wish it was the same time all year. You wish they didn't do the spring forward. What's the deal? What do you think?
It freaks me out, like that first 2 months after a daylight savings change, because it's, in the winter, you're like, why is it already sunlight? And it's like 4 in the morning.
Exactly.
I don't understand. Or, I'm having lunch and the sun is setting. I don't get it. Sort of thing.
I think we should spring forward and leave it.
Yeah, because I'm with you.
I like having the extra daylight at the end of the day. And I hate it when we go back and then it's daylight at 5 o'clock in the morning and it gets dark at 5 o'clock at night. That's just stupid. Leave it dark in the morning later. I don't care if it's dark at 7. That doesn't matter to me. But give me the daylight at the end of the day when I can still go out and do stuff.
Exactly. I agree with you.
There. We're settled. That's what we're doing. Mm-hmm. Nobody's changing anymore.
That's right. That should be the platform we run on.
Putting our clocks back and then that's it.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Isn't there a state in America that does not adhere to daylight savings?
There's several, yes. And Arizona is weird because it's like Phoenix doesn't, but the rest of the state does or something. It's really weird. So you can like just drive out in the country and switch time zones or something. There's a website that tells you. I think it's Illinois doesn't either. They don't do the daylight savings time.
Something like that. One of the I states, I think.
I don't care enough to look it up right now. But
I wouldn't be surprised if it's Illinois. That's where Chicago is.
It's either that or Indianapolis. Wait, no. Maybe Indianapolis.
But Chicago is used as like the standard of what.
Yeah, I think it's Indianapolis. I was wrong. It's Indiana. I'm sorry, Indiana. Indianapolis is a city. Indiana is a state. Indianapolis is a town where they have races.
Yes.
Glad we got all that straight. Good to know.
At least 500 of them.
No, I think it's one race, but they go around the track 500 times.
Seriously?
Well, yeah.
Why would anyone do that?
No, I'm kidding. It's a fat, you know. Yeah, I think it's 500 miles.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think the track's, you know.
Gotcha.
Okay, longer than a mile.
Fair enough.
Is the chat room hung up on me yet?
Oh, look, there's Dave.
Hey, there's Dave. Sup, Texans. Hey. Hey. Sup, Californian. Dave? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Would he be considered a Visalian? Get it?
A Visalian?
Like extraterrestrial?
It could be. Could be. I'm just impressed that he's using his real name there. Jaded Dave.
That's true. You know what? Let me say something.
Okay, say something.
Something. But I have apparently become the target of a public smear campaign.
It's nothing. I don't understand what you're talking about. Smear?
I let my wife listen to the Jen and Dave show.
Yes. Okay, well, don't let her listen next week, whatever you do.
I think she passed out.
She passed out.
Yeah, definitely. And I actually wanted to give us a solid definition for the rating of kid friendly.
you want to do it? Okay, you do it. You say
it's because it's become a phenomenon.
It is. It's kid friendly.
It has.
It's not kid friendly. It's kid friendly.
Kid friendly. Everyone's using it. So I have it.
It's a genius thing. It's natural. Go ahead. Uh-huh. It's going to be like Angie's List. It's going to go nationwide, or Craigslist. It's going to be one of the. Everybody's going to have kid friendly. You're going to see it on the Today Show. It's going to be this. Right. This movie is kid friendly.
Exactly. So, kid friendly. It's an adjective. Well, it's two words, but it's an adjective term.
Okay.
It is a description of the content of a specific example of entertainment that sparingly, if at all, contains sexual content that may upset the sensibilities of a former pornography addict.
Wow, big confession there.
Well, I've said it before on the internet, so.
Okay. But not on this show.
Well, not on this show, no.
Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, so that is what kid-friendly is. There's no mention of, you know, of violence, unless the violence is that of a sexual nature.
Okay.
Like rape.
Right.
Whatever. There's no mention of profanity, unless that profanity gets so explicit that it starts delving really deeply into sexual content, like beeping.
So, what you're saying is it's not a goody two shoes show. Kids friendly does not mean goody two shoes. It means lack of sexual content.
Right.
Right. And storming the castle means what?
Storming the castle is not a euphemism. Thank you. It is actually laying siege to a walled city, or the keep inside the city, with a large army,
but somehow
trying to starve them out.
But somehow it's become code for something else. How did that happen?
Dave, you need to ask Dave, because it's part of his public smear campaign.
Public smear campaign.
Yes.
All he said was that because of your sensibilities, that you probably used World of Warcraft terms when it came to approaching the subject with your wife of having marital relations.
And I have not played World of Warcraft in like 3 or 4 months.
That's not the point. Is that that's not the point? I love it. I love it. Storm the castle. Okay. So,
No, it's very awkward.
I'm sorry. But that's what makes it funny, is the fact that it's very awkward.
I hate awkward situations. Like, I can't watch movies or TV shows. Like, I can barely watch The Office, and I don't even watch The Office all that frequently. But The Office makes me cringe to a point that I can't watch it.
Because it's full of uncomfortable situations. Now, kids, did you go see the movie 300, or have you seen the movie 300? It's not kid-friendly. Okay.
The beginning part of it is not kid friendly.
Not at all. Okay, well, here's the thing, and it's not just one scene. There's like really two big scenes that are anti-kid, that are extremely un-kid friendly. There's one there's one with the king and the queen, and then there's one with the oracle,
right?
Which is gross. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing: the one with the queen and the king and the queen is very borderline, like, softcore. It's extreme, right?
Yeah.
It's not.
I don't remember it, so
You probably blocked it out, but it is.
Yeah.
But my problem is, when I went to see this movie, I went with another guy.
Oh.
And we were and there's always that thing when you go with a guy, it's like, because back in the 80s, if you went to the movies with a guy, you always left a seat between you, because everybody in the 80s was very homophobic. And so you would always leave a seat between you. And people don't really do that anymore, because it's like, you should be man enough to be able to sit by, you know, you should be secure in your sexuality and, you know, all that. So people don't do that anymore. And when we went to this movie, we sat beside each other. Okay. But it was on a row, you know, it wasn't like there was anybody else on the row. So it was just me and him on the row with nobody else beside us. And which is a little uncomfortable. I mean, it's not bad. I mean, it's not anything bad, but it's just a little uncomfortable. And then that scene comes on. And then you're like, okay, do I look at the guy and go, what's up with this? Or do I not make eye contact with the guy because this is going on? It's very uncomfortable. It's just the whole situation, very bad.
Yeah.
And after the movie, we talked about it. We both felt the exact same way.
Okay, good.
We're like, we don't want to be like, I don't even want to look you in the eye while this is going on in front of me. And I don't even want to see it. So I don't know what to do.
Yeah, that's when you're like, oh, that's a lovely light decoration they have on the walls.
Yes, oh, yes, yes. I think I need to go to the bathroom now.
What is that sticky thing on the floor?
But then you can't get it. Like, if you're going to go to the bathroom, then people think bad things, too.
Oh, yeah.
Like, why are you going to the bathroom when there's a sex scene going on, huh? You know, it's just like no good. They just shouldn't do it. Bottom line.
Yes. Also, just so you know, a discussion of kid-friendly topics, that's kid-friendly, apparently.
Okay. Well, good.
So, yeah.
There you have it.
Yeah. This conversation that we're having is not upsetting the kid-friendly meter.
And Dave says that if it's been 4 months since you stormed the castle, maybe you should be in counseling or something.
4 months since I played World of Warcraft.
Well, whatever you call it, I'm just saying. It's a long time. All right, let's move on. Okay. So let's make kids happy and move on. Let's talk about what I wanted to talk about. I had a question. Before we move too far on.
Let's do what you want to do, Brad.
Well, did you want to continue on talking about that subject?
Nope, we're good.
Okay. All right, I had a question concerning World of Warcraft and Minecraft. I don't play either. Don't really have a desire to play either.
Because from the show notes, you are hearing it wrong.
Okay.
It is not Mindcraft. It is Minecraft, as in you are going into a mine, or you are mining coal or something like that. And it is one word, but
okay.
The entire point is that you are mining these resources to then craft other things.
So it's a less violent version of Warcraft? It's a game sort of like Warcraft, but based on mining versus war?
The gameplay of Minecraft is far simpler than World of Warcraft. World of Warcraft has several levels and different aspects of it. Minecraft, you mine things, then you build things, and then you defend yourself from the monsters.
Ah.
That's it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, it seems to be a big hit with some people.
It is.
Very addictive. You play it online, though, right? With other people? Is that the deal?
You can play it online. You can also play it single player just by yourself.
Okay. Both of them?
World of Warcraft is only online.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
But it's confusing because you actually have to buy it, right?
Yeah.
You have to buy it, but you can only play it online.
Yes. You also have to pay a monthly subscription to play World of Warcraft.
You have to buy it, then you have to keep buying it. And you can only play it online.
Uh-huh.
That sounds like a ripoff.
Well, they also, you know, you're also paying for the new updates and the server maintenance and that sort of stuff as part of it.
Wow. But I guess it's fun, huh?
Yeah, it can be. For instance, World of Warcraft, you have to pay for it and the monthly subscription. The installation folder on my computer, I just leave it installed, is 32.8 gigabytes.
That's pretty big.
Yes.
Okay. And you can't play it on a Mac?
You can. Absolutely.
Oh, okay. I thought you said you could.
You just have to get the Mac version.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I'm not going to, because I don't have that kind of time.
Don't worry about it. Yeah.
I don't have that kind of time. But, I mean, I have been getting into more games lately, so you know, I'm never say never, you know. So, because they've come out with some pretty decent like, what do you call those games where you shoot, you know, shoot first person shooter games.
Uh-huh.
They've come out with some pretty decent ones on the iPhone. I mean, and it's not just, I think they've been out, but the iPhone's kind of caught up with being able to actually play them smoothly and well. And so I got the Call of Duty, which I told you about before, which they only have the zombie. It's only the zombie part. It's not the full game. But still, it was still, you know, pretty fun. The thing I didn't like about it was it didn't really have, there wasn't really a plot. It's just you go walk around shooting zombies.
Yeah.
You just walk around shooting Nazi zombies. There's no goal. You can't win. You know, you just keep coming until you die. So, so that part kind of got old after a while. I mean, after I went through all the levels and you can't ever complete a level. So it's just like after I do everything there is to do in a level and then get all the weapons and play with those and then die eventually, it kind of got old. So then I got Nova 2. You know, it's N-O-A-O-V. I mean, it's like periods. It's an acronym, Nova. And it's for Near Orbit Vengeance Alliance, or what is it? I forgot what the V stands for. Anyway, Vigil Alliance. Anyway, so you're basically you're fighting these rebels who are trying to take over this planet, basically. And it was actually very similar to the one I played on the place when I had the Kinect PlayStation thing. Xbox.
Right.
I played, what was that one called? What's the other one? Where you're on a different planet and you're fighting.
Are you thinking of Halo?
Halo, yes. Yes. Nova
it
is very.
It does look a lot like Halo.
Nova is very similar to Halo. You're on another planet and you're fighting, but you're not part of a team. That's the only difference. You're by yourself. But there's a fairly integrated story though that goes along with it, and you've got this lady who's talking to you kind of like in the other one, so it kind of guides you along. Of course, it's not near as robust as Halo is because it's on your iPhone, and but it's $7, not too bad, and I think it was $7 or $8, wasn't too bad, and there's a story that goes along, there's levels, and you play through the whole thing, and there's you can win levels, and then you win eventually the whole story. And you fight the super boss and all that. So it was fun. It was very entertaining.
Nova 2 is also apparently on the Android market for $7.
There you go. You should check it out.
There you go.
Okay, so that's our game talk for the week.
Okay.
You people who are into gaming, have fun with that.
There you go. Well, I could talk a lot more about games, but I won't. Since that was the end of it, so
we'll do it again next week. Since that's a topic you're interested in, then we'll talk more about games.
Well, you might not want to, because the game that I have in mind mixes Star Wars and gaming, and so I could literally talk for hours about that.
Well, we won't do that to people, but
we'll
just think about how to briefly summarize it and tell people why it's cool and why they should get into it.
Oh, okay.
And we'll attack that next week. I want to talk about something Dave might be interested in, as well as some other people, and that's documentaries.
Documentaries.
I'm a sort of a weird bird in that I like documentaries.
Mm-hmm.
I like the documentary style. I think it's sort of addicting, if a good documentary. And
sure.
And for instance, even like, because what kind of brought this up was Dave and Jen were talking. Jen and Dave, excuse me, were talking. I think no, it wasn't Jen and Dave. It was Robert and Chelsea. They were talking about Troll Hunter.
Yes,
but I think Dave had seen it. I think he's the one that told me to watch it. He's in the chat room. Yeah. He's in the chat room. He'll let me know if I.
I have seen that too.
You've seen the movie? Okay. Mm-hmm. It's documentary style. I thought it was done. It's fictional.
Yeah, it's Blair Witch style.
I don't know. See, Blair Witch was very jumpy. It was very emotional. It was obviously attacking your sort of sensibilities and emotions from the get-go. The thing I liked about this is the story plot of the documentary. In other words, it actually was a documentary about something else. They were trying to catch this guy poaching, I think is how it started.
Right.
And they were doing a documentary on him poaching. and ended up stumbling onto the fact that he was actually hunting trolls. And the way the story develops, I think it would have been even better if you hadn't called it Troll Hunter to begin with. I think if you just sort of, if it had been called something a little obscure and you kind of, what's this about, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But it was really good. It was one of those, there's not a lot of, it was filmed in Sweden, is that right? Sweden?
Norway.
I'm sorry, you're right, Norway.
That's why Norwegian Girl told It's Just Us to go see it.
Aha, there you go. And and so there's some reading involved, but there's not a lot of dialogue, so it was very easy to follow along, and you didn't have to worry about that too much. I don't like, but then I have to watch it on the big screen because I can't watch that on my phone. Because sometimes I go to bed and watch a movie on my phone. You can't read a movie on your phone, so you just can't. Yeah. It's too small.
Why would you do that? Why would you watch a movie on your phone?
Well, it's Retina display. It's beautiful. So I can sit there with my earphones on. Don't bother anybody. I'm in bed.
Yeah,
it didn't bother me.
That makes sense.
Okay. Anyway, so I watched Troll Hunter as documentary style. I thought that was neat, but that I really want to talk about documentaries in general. And so I wanted to get your, like, do you have a favorite or two or three favorite documentaries? Do you like watching documentaries at all?
Yeah, I do. I do like watching documentaries. Documentaries are kind of what I default to on Netflix sometimes.
Yeah, they have a good selection there.
Yeah, I'll tend to start watching a documentary and then wait for about 5 to 20 minutes to decide if I like where it's going.
Yeah, and that's the other thing, is it takes a while to figure out if this is going to be really, really boring or really, really political. It kind of takes a while. And I don't like a documentary that has a huge slant to it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Like one documentary I started watching was called Revolution OS, and that is about Linux. And for some reason, I watched 36 minutes of it before deciding that I was bored out of my mind.
Yeah, I watched one about Helvetica, which is a font.
Helvetica?
Yeah, it's a font.
Yes, that is one of Swifty's favorite fonts.
Well, you ought to watch the documentary because it will put you to sleep and in a coma.
Yeah, well, here's the thing about documentaries in this house, because what will happen is we will say, oh, let's watch this documentary on this or whatever. And if it's something that we already have a lot of experience in, we'll start watching it and say, I already know all of this. Why would I want to keep watching this? And we turn it off. I think we did that with Helvetica.
Well, Helvetica is it's fairly interesting, but there's only so much. It should have only been a 30-minute documentary. It only needed to be 30 minutes. It would have been great. It would have been very informing and very good, especially for somebody like me who didn't know anything about it. But an hour and a half of font talk, I just couldn't do it. So, but it was interesting to see the evolution of font and that kind of. I watched it. I watched a lot of it, but maybe an hour of it.
We apparently watched 7 minutes of it and turned it off. I'm going through my history.
Wow.
On Netflix. Okay. So,
well, so do you have two or three favorites?
Not really that come to mind far as documentaries go.
We'll be thinking about that, and I'll tell you about my favorites.
Tell me.
These are just from the last, I would say last 5 years, the ones I've watched in the last 5 years. These have been sort of my favorites. One that I think was sort of the best of the food ones. There's a bunch of food ones that came out. Super Size Me, King Corn was another one. Forks Over Knives, which is very recent, but also very good. But the best one of all of those, I thought, was Food Inc. Food Inc., I thought, just really was superior. Just the way it was done, and the interviews, the way it was put together. I just thought it was the best.
It's been a while since I've seen Food Inc., but I think Food Inc. is the reason why my wife likes Chipotle so much.
Yeah. Yeah, that's. It's true.
And also because Chipotle is delicious.
And it is good.
It is. They have brown rice now at Chipotle.
Yummy. Oh, cool. I like brown rice.
It's good.
And the next one that I really like is Expelled, which partly because It was so well done by Ben Stein. It had such humor in it. Now, it does have a slant to it. I mean, but I felt the slant was fair. In other words,
yes,
it was slanted because you have to lean to the left so much because the floor slopes to the right. You know, that, if you understand what I mean by that, it's just to balance, to present it balanced, he had to, there was a little slant to it. But I thought it was excellent in how it showed sort of the evolution of thinking about this subject.
Yeah, definitely.
It started off with basically freedom and how people should have the right, people in this country, in academia, should have the right to present any subject for discussion. Not to say, not to give an opinion or to say this is the fact or this is the truth, but to present a subject for discussion, to open up and have a dialogue, a scientific dialogue about what this was. This, if you don't know what Expelled it's about, is about, it's about intelligent design in academia, and how if you so it starts off there, but then he also goes into and he lets, I love it because he lets the evolutionist bring up the fact that nothing good comes from intelligent design. No good thoughts come from that. No good science comes from that. And so then he investigates, well, what good science comes from evolution thinking? And he goes into eugenics and how we experimented with eugenics in the United States and how in Nazi it was put into sort of an extreme, what do you want to call it? It was taken to its logical, logical conclusion or whatever. Extreme conclusion. Yeah, sure. So, and he goes there, and then he goes, and he comes, and then at the end he comes back to this idea of freedom, and that that if we don't have freedom, we run the danger of ending up taking life for granted or demeaning life. And I thought this was just excellent. I thought that the humor in it was good. I think it is slanted, but he gives so much time. If you watch that movie, most of the time is given to the other position.
That is true.
And I thought it was also excellent how he let them hang themselves in several situations.
That's the best part.
I mean, William Provine gets almost just physically angry with Ben Stein and in his interview and says, there is no hope. It's stupid to think that there's hope. But if you, but right before that, he had said, "Well, there's nothing more boring than to think that there's a creator. That's just boring." And then he just goes on to say, "There's no free will. There's no hope." It's just wow. And then you go to Dawkins.
Yeah, Dawkins.
Right. Who says, "Well, we might have come from aliens, but he's much more willing to consider that than."
Anything but God.
Yeah, anything but God is just. Anyway, I just thought that was an excellent one. Now, I'd have to say Expelled is probably my favorite, but just because of how well it's constructed, how well it's done, how well produced it was, the humor, the shots, and all that. But my second favorite is a new one I've just seen. I've already watched it twice, and I've already recommended it to a bunch of friends of mine.
And Twitter.
I haven't seen it yet. I put it on Twitter. I put it on Facebook. I put it everywhere. It's called Buck. And it's another one that is just so well put together that I marvel at the sheer cinematography of the thing, the editing of the thing, and and just how well it's constructed. And then the subject matter is good. And the so it's about this guy named Buck. What's his last name?
Brandeman,
yeah. And that's not his real name. That's just what they call him, Buck. Buckshot is his nickname. I think his real name is James. But anyway, it's not the point. He was sort of the real Horse Whisperer, if you saw the movie Horse Whisperer.
I did not.
Okay, well, you know what I'm talking about, though, the movie with Robert Redford?
No. Maybe?
Okay. Well, anyway, he's not really a horse whisperer because he doesn't whisper to horses.
Right.
But if you've seen the dog, what's the dog man? The guy that does the dog?
Caesar.
Yeah.
Caesar something or other.
What's the show called?
The Dog Whisperer.
Oh, is it called that? Okay. Well, I didn't know. Okay.
I think so.
He's sort of like that. I mean, he just knows horses like that guy knows dogs, you know. He's just but when he was approached, the documentary, the subject of the documentary is this guy, his entire life. It's just about him. And a small part of that is him being approached when they started writing this book and doing research for this book. And then when they made the movie, they came back to him and asked him to be part of to be on the movie as sort of a consultant. Excuse me. And he became a larger and larger part of the movie. He was actually a double for Robert Redford on some of the horse riding. And his horse actually played in the movie as well, because he could get his horse to do the stuff that they couldn't get the trick horses to do.
Nice.
Yeah. So it's I just highly recommend it. I'm going to tell you all the details about it, but they get into his life. They get into the nitty gritty of his life.
The nitty gritty,
the dirty parts. And but it's not. It is kid friendly. The movie is completely kid friendly.
Good.
But there is. There's some scenes of cruelty to animals in it. Just some small. They don't spend a lot of time on that, but they just kind of show you the other extreme of what he does. The neat thing about it was when I first started watching it, I thought it was going to be sort of this touchy feely kind of guy, and he's not.
Well, that's what the cover of it looks like.
Yeah, but he's not. He's a cowboy, and he's an interesting character. He's got depth to him. He's got flaws to him, but they just do a very good job of letting you in to kind of, you feel like you know the guy by the end of the movie, and he's a very interesting guy to know. But he is also has strong values and strong principles, and he kind of preaches those as he's doing the horse. He's like, being a horse owner and being a parent is very similar. You know, you can't always be the horse's friend. Sometimes you have to be the horse's owner, just like you can't always be the kid's friend. Sometimes you got to be the parent, you know, and you got to be a parent first before you can be the friend. You got to be, you know, and so he has this strong value system, and he says most of the time, I'm not dealing with horse problems. I'm dealing with people problems. And,
oh, nice.
And he says damn a lot in the movie. So just so you know, but that's as far as his cussing goes. But there is, there's one point where, he refers to a horse. He's referring to a horse and calls it a son of a bitch. And, and during that same scene, another person in the movie says the S word. It's like they kind of intentionally, the editor, I think, of the move of the documentary intentionally left any other cussing out, because you just got to believe that some of these other people were cussing, but it's not part of the movie except for this one scene. And it's very, so when this scene happens, I'm not going to tell you, but I'm just saying you couldn't have cut out the cuss word. It would have ruined the movie. It would have ruined the scene. It was very good. It was just it was very violent. And, some of the scenes they capture, just Montana and Colorado and California, just gorgeous places that he goes to.
The pretty stuff. Mm-hmm. The pretty stuff.
And you get to meet his daughter and his wife and just all these, you know, people. So, I highly recommend Buck. Check it out and let me know what you think. Let me know what some of your favorite documentaries are.
Sure.
I like The American Experience. I've seen, but I don't know if you count those as documentaries because they're series. Baseball was like 9 episodes and they were all an hour and a half long. It's like it creeps, it goes on forever. go ahead.
I would say that as far as the favorite sort of movies over here in Redshift HQ,
yes,
if I can call it that,
okay,
would be the. I really like how it's made, and I would almost consider that a documentary.
It's a documentary. It's a what's that called? That's called a docuseries or something. What? That's not the right
sure.
word. But something like that. Yeah.
Some fake word. Yeah. we can go with that. But I really like that show, and I'm really glad that it's on Netflix, because there's like 20 seasons of that, and I want all of them. Anyway, but so I like that stuff. The other sort of documentaries that Aether Swift and I will like to watch are the ones that show how awesome God is, even if the people who made the documentary didn't intend for that to be the case.
Oh, okay.
Like we watched some documentary.
And all that.
we watched something about lightning. How all the science behind lightning and mm-hmm. how it was ridiculously crazy and how we're learning more and more about it. And of course the documentary creators are like, yeah, this is just crazy. And it's, you know, what a wonderful thing of Mother Nature and how this is a random chance sort of thing. And so at that point we're just like, let's just watch this and turn it on mute. And we just watch God in action go.
Yeah. And the same thing about the cell, you know, you watch how intricate uh-huh. a cell is and you're just like, wow, you know, there's a lot going on in there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
Exactly. So those are the sort of documentaries that we like. We watched the last documentary-esque sort of thing that we watched was actually what was that documentary called? It was a documentary about snipers, and there was some sort of sniper competition.
Okay.
That it took, you know, apparently the Army has this sniper competition every year at their sniper training ground somewhere,
mm-hmm.
and it has grown every subsequent year after that, and I think they were following like the 2009 competition or something mm-hmm. like that, where they had several Army sniper teams and Marine sniper teams and Air Force, mm-hmm. and I don't think there were any Navy, but they had, you know, an Irish sniper team and
wow.
a Dutch sniper team
cool.
and a French sniper team, and then the Philadelphia SWAT sniper team, which was like the first law enforcement team that was there.
Wow! So they
and they all had to do, yeah, they all had to do stuff like, okay, we need you to be able to figure out how, you know, we need you to show how well you know your weapon and how far you know that it'll fire and be able to make calculations on the fly of how much gravity and wind and all this sort of stuff and be able to hit it.
Cool.
That was one of the sort of things, because if you picture like a sniper team, you picture of a sniper and a spotter, and a spotter's just looking through binoculars.
Right.
And we didn't realize that the spotter is also a sniper, is usually the more experienced sniper.
Oh, really? I didn't know that either.
And they also have a sniper rifle, so that if they need to both lay down fire, they can both lay down fire.
They can say, move over, boy. Let me show you how to do it.
Uh-huh. Well, they can both be like, I got the one on the left, you get the one on the right.
Right, right. Okay.
Yeah.
So, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. I also like documentaries that surprise you because of the subject content. I watched one, and I don't remember the name of it now. It was on Netflix, though. And it was about, I don't even know what it's called or how I got on it, but it was about a guy who goes down to to Brazil, Rio de Janeiro. Uh-huh. And he is doing a documentary about people who make a living off of the dump grounds. They go out every day. They live in the dump yard.
Huh.
This is a giant dump yard. It's like the biggest one in the world. And they live there in little huts. Uh-huh. They have houses other, you know, elsewhere. But mm-hmm. they'll travel here and live in these little huts in the dump yard. And then they'll go in and collect recyclables. And they get paid. And they get paid by brokers. You know, brokers will pay. We'll pay a pound for a dollar for every pound of plastic you collect. And it may mm-hmm. be these brokers want different things. So one guy may be collecting nylons and one person may be collecting tin cans and one person may be, you know, so it's like,
yeah,
that.
Yeah, sure.
And he takes some of these people and he follows them about and kind of, you know, like, cause it's not a very prestigious job as you can imagine. So he gets some of these people and kind of says, well, how did you end up doing this? Or, you know, how are you here and what are you doing? And uh-huh. they have like a little union and they have, so they follow the president around and kind of what he's trying to do for everybody and how to get them better working conditions and better gloves or whatever. And
interesting.
But the point of this was the guy was an artist and he wanted these people to create with him to create artwork. And And so they created these pieces of art, and in this giant room with all this trash, and they became the artists, these people, and part of the artwork, and they and their story and everything was part of the artwork. And so it was just fascinating. It was just one of the things that kind of – one of those documentaries that evolve. You think it's about one thing and it becomes about another and becomes about – you know, and you just – you kind of gets pulled you deeper into it.
Sure. So
that one was very good too. I'll have to look up the name of it and put it in the show notes. But
Nice.
I like documentaries to do that. They kind of surprise you, you know.
Excellent. Well, I would have you know
– Yes.
Just in all this talk about documentaries and that sort of stuff, I have just discovered that Red Dwarf and Mystery Science Theater 3000 – are on Netflix streaming.
I knew Red Dwarf was. I did not
know. I didn't know that until just now.
I didn't know Mystery Science Theater was. Yes.
There are several MST3K movies on there.
Cool.
That's the sort of show that you'd be flipping late at night and like run across a sci-fi channel and be like, oh, look, robots talking about, this is funny. I'm going to go to bed now, sort of thing.
So. I like Mystery Science Theater, especially late at night, because it's something you could turn off at any point and go to sleep.
Exactly.
You're not going to miss anything. So how about some really, really bad documentaries? We talked about Helvetica, but like I don't like really slanted ones, like Inconvenient Truth. I didn't like that. Thought that was not good.
Sure.
Bowling for Columbine.
I started watching one the other day, actually, because freaking you and Faith and the Space Turtle and everyone's always keeps saying, you should watch Star Trek. Watch Star Trek. Yeah, do that. And so I saw this documentary called The Captains.
Oh, The Captains is great, but you can't watch it if you've never seen Star Trek.
No, I understand about the different captains and that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And I recognize their faces and that sort of thing.
Yeah, The Captains was really good.
Yeah, so I watched 23 minutes of it, according to Netflix, and what I gathered of it was that William Shatner is full of himself.
No, you don't understand his sense of humor.
I do kind of understand that he's got that sort of a sarcastic arrogance,
he's a genius. He's really. Yeah. If you ever watch his interviews, they're William Shatner Aftermath or what was the other one called? The Last Word or something. I don't remember what it's called. The Aftermath was really good, where he interviews people who have gone through very tragic events in their life and really lets you in on like what they were feeling, what they were thinking, and it was really good. But the captains was great. But now, the DS9 captain has obviously fried his brain on something. He was out there, man. Oh, yeah. Wow. Okay.
The jazz singer?
Yes. Yes. Uh-huh. He was a little scary. I was like, how high are you? But Jean-Luc was awesome in that. I thought he really came across well. And. Anyway, so I'm sorry you didn't get The Captains, but you still need to watch Star Trek, even though you didn't like The Captains. You need to watch Star Trek.
That's all right. thanks for the offer, though.
You're losing geek points, buddy. You're missing all these references, all these social, all these cultural references. You don't understand.
You know what? You know what? I decided a couple years ago that I will no longer define myself by what other people define a term that I might use for myself. Like, I don't care if I haven't watched Star Trek because I still consider myself a geek.
And yeah, but you're just a Star Wars geek. See, you're not. You don't. So, you don't have the other side of it. You have to.
So, I don't. I don't feel the need to confine myself to a cultural's definition of a title or something like that.
That's fine. That's fine. I've never watched Doctor Who, so.
You know, I haven't either, so that's high five virtually.
So there's
about that.
Well, I was trying to make you feel better by saying I never watched Doctor Who, but
I have met people who haven't seen Star Wars.
Hey, Helen hasn't seen Star Wars, but then again, she's 10.
Helen is also exactly. I have met 20-year-olds who haven't seen Star Wars,
but she has watched Star Trek and she likes it. So
okay,
there you go.
Fine. Star Trek is shorter episodes; she can sit down and and watch those.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I can't get on board with you not watching Star Trek. I just can't. Sorry. I mean, I feel for you, dude. I really do. I mean, I appreciate that you don't want to define yourself that way. But
sure.
I just can't get on board with somebody not watching Star Trek. It's just weird.
I'm a free spirit, man.
You're like the only person I know that doesn't watch Star Trek.
Well, then you need to meet more people. But like when people will say something like, "Oh, hand over your man card," I'm like, I'm not going to hand over my man card.
You don't lose your man card for Star Trek.
Well, yeah.
You might get it punched. But, you might get it punched or a corner torn off of it of your geek card, but not your man card.
I don't care. I don't care, man. I'm a free spirit.
I have found a button to push on Kidge, that's for sure.
What?
Just start talking to him about how he's how he's a less of a man because he didn't watch Star Trek. I'm marking it down, save for later. Okay, good, good.
Oh, boy. Right.
Storm the Castle and Star Trek. Gotcha. Okay.
Oh, God.
All right. Way,
we're the only people in the live chat now.
Oh, Jen and Dave left. They got bored with this, I guess so.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Well, thanks for tuning in this week. We were going to have Faith was going to be joining us this week. Anyway, whatever that was supposed to be, however that was supposed to come out. She was supposed to join us, and we do have some calls from you guys as well, but I kind of wanted her to be present because a lot of them were to all three of us. But Helen's not feeling well, so she's in there trying to take care of Helen, and she's going over some – trying to make a bunch of decisions. We're in the middle of the forced remodel of our house, so she's got to pick paint colors and floors and all that kind of stuff. So she's in the middle
of building a brand new house, isn't it?
No, it's not that bad. I mean, you built the brand new house. You had a gazillion decisions to make. We only have a few.
I had a designer for a wife, so I was like,
"Well, there you go."
I like these sorts of colors. You pick which ones work best.
Well, we have this big, it's
very easy for me.
We have this big built-in shelf thing in our living room, and. And when I moved into the house, it's made for it to have a television sit in it, a big widescreen projection television.
With one of those DLP ones?
Yeah, it's very deep. And then, of course, I have a flat screen. So when we moved in, I got my little carpenter hat, put my little carpenter hat on, and kind of modified it so that I could mount my flat screen television basically in this hole.
With a fake false wall and that sort of thing.
All I told Faith, and so they're tearing this thing out because it got soaked and it's warped and everything. So I said, I just told Faith, I said, all I care about is that you keep the TV at the same height and that it's not stuck in a hole. It can't be in a hole. It's got to be in front, and it's got to be at this height because I don't want to look up over the mantle. People who put their televisions above the fireplace, I don't want to look up at my television.
Yeah.
So
I hear you.
That was my only, that was my only rules. But anyway, she's doing that. But she will probably be with us next week. In fact, she may even record like a mini show with me because we've got a couple of topics that just about this sort of thing that that we've been wanting to get off our chest. So we might record a little mini episode next day or two.
Cool.
So look forward to that. And been great. Just me and you, though. I love that we can talk about documentaries and stuff and it's fun. I enjoyed it.
And indeed.
And so I'm done. Are you have anything else?
I don't have anything else.
Did we cover everything you put on the run sheet? I think we did.
I only added the kids friendly definition.
Oh yes. But I did put on the Warcraft thing to talk to you about, so we did that.
That's true. That's true. So good times.
Good times. Oh no, I can't. I got it. I want the texting argument. Remind me to do that. I want to do that one, but I want it to be all three of us when I do it because it's funnier that way.
Texting. Okay. Yeah. All right.
All right, everybody. All right. Thanks for joining us. Appreciate it. You guys who hung out in the chat room with us for a little while, appreciate that as well.
Yeah. Sure.
And we will see you at the same time next week. Yes.
Give or take how the sandwich show goes.
Exactly. Okay, bye. Escondidos, everybody.
Bye. Escondidos.
Two Blind Squirrels is a proud member of My Life Ministries, a community of believers that views the everyday Christian life as a ministry and seeks to encourage Christians in their daily walk with Christ. For more information, please visit mylifeministries.org.
Boom, boom. Okay, I gotta hit the stop record button.